Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 20. Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." You know, it'd be an interesting little study for you to just look at that expression, the kingdom of God, and you're going to find it throughout the Gospels, throughout the teaching of Jesus. And it begins, the beginning of Jesus' ministry talks about the coming of the kingdom of God and to prepare your hearts for it. And then he started talking about what the kingdom of God is. And here he is clearing some things up, because there were the religious folks, the very religious folks, that they had the idea that the kingdom of God was going to be like some sort of earthly institution that you could go and visit, you know, like some sort of church or maybe some type of king, and he was going to change their whole country, and it was now going to be, you know, instead of calling us ourselves Israel, we'll call ourselves the kingdom of God. And Jesus was helping them understand that you're looking in the wrong place, because the kingdom of God isn't anything like that. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is where the Lord reigns as king. And like for all of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, that we in our heart of hearts would say, "Hey, I am a Jesus follower." We may be an American, but in our heart of hearts, we are Christian. That's the most important thing. That's the foundation that everything grows out of. And I believe with my whole heart that when that foundation is where it's supposed to be, it overflows and it makes everything else what it ought to be. You know, when Jesus Christ is reigning in our hearts, when he's taking that number one place, it's going to make us a better citizen. When he is reigning in our hearts, when we are walking with him, it's going to make us the family member that we need to be. It's going to make us the neighbor. It's going to make us the worker. Because there's a sense in which being right with God and having him living on the inside, it's like we were made for that. And a life without that is a life where you're looking at a person and they're sort of like a shell of what they ought to be, and they're not yet. But when Christ comes in and cleanses the sin and comes in and fills, it's like you watch people like come alive to become who God created them to be. You all of a sudden see their gifts, and you see the joy, and you see the zeal come. And we become who we were born to be. You know, as St. Chrysostom says, we've been created with a God-shaped hole in our hearts. And try as people will to fill it with other things, none of those things really fill it, because it was made for him. And the kingdom of God is within us. Let's look over a little bit more on this in chapter 18, beginning with verse 15. People were bringing babies to have him touch them. And when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. And I don't blame them. I think if it was back then and I had a little baby and Jesus was doing his thing, I would want to get my baby in there to get touched by Jesus, you know? Because I think it would have, it's hard to know what the impact would be, but you just know that there's going to be an impact, because Jesus' touch accomplished all kinds of great things. And so the people were coming, they were bringing their children, and the disciples, for whatever reason, was trying to get the crowds to get away. Maybe they thought Jesus was getting swamped by all the people. But Jesus stopped the disciples, and he says, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. And then he says, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. He continues, he says, and I tell you the truth, that anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. For the kingdom of God is not something that you need a pile of books and to have taken several college classes so you come to some level of understanding, then you can receive the kingdom of God. I have a friend of mine, and we were friends in college, and now we're friends on social media. And, oh my gosh, he was so smart. We went to college together, but then after he graduated, he went on and got he went to Harvard, and then he went to this other school. He's got all these advanced degrees, and he's written all these books. And he's a regular contributor for a couple of these really heady magazines. And I read some of his articles, and as I'm reading some of the articles, I think to myself, I think really smart people pick up on this immediately. And I'm kind of not as smart as them. I don't know if I pick up on it all. And if I wanted to, I could come to this conclusion that I need to be able to have this high of an IQ, to have this level of understanding, to have read all these books, so I'm in some way just so enlightened before you can really understand and receive Jesus. But that's not how it works. It's something that is not like that. It's something that he's calling us to do it like a child does it. A child hears words from a trusted parent and receives them and acts on it. That's where that is. So if the parents make a promise to the kids, I mean, it's just as absolute in the kid's mind. I remember... Hold on, let me take a quick scan of the crowd here. All right. I still remember when I was a kid. I mean, my mom and dad, I was a thorough believer in the Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, and the Easter Bunny. I held the Easter Bunny was the last one for me. And I just had a hard time understanding how a rabbit, little rabbit, could go around everybody's house, but then I thought it must be a big rabbit, almost like a human. It could walk around. And then I'm like, how are they going to get to everybody's house? And we live near an airport, and I just assumed that the Easter Bunny somehow flew a helicopter. And I remember one night just sitting at the front window of my house and watching and trying to figure out the lights in the sky if one of them was the Easter Bunny, and then thinking about if he sat down on my house, would he set it down in the backyard or on the roof? And maybe if I laid in bed and I tried to stay up, maybe I could hear it when he did. And then did Mom and Dad lock the back door? Because how's he going to get in and set it, the Easter basket, by the end of my bed? I ended up falling asleep that night. And then I woke up the next morning. There it was. Man, this was wonderful. But there was a problem. There's a little tag on my Easter basket that had my name on it. I guess he didn't want to get it mixed up with my sister's Easter basket. And the Easter Bunny's handwriting was just like my mom's. And that was the beginning of my world coming unraveled. And I still remember having a private discussion with my mom when my sisters weren't around. Sister, I only had one at that time. And I'm like, Mom, I gotta ask you a question about something. Well, what is it? About the Easter Bunny. Dead silence. Are you the Easter Bunny? Yes. Oh. You're the Tooth Fairy, aren't you? Yes. Oh! I was crushed. Because, see, I had believed my mother. I had believed my mother, hook, line, and sinker. And really, that's how kids are. You know, kids believe their parents. Their parents are these. I know you can think of parents that are not trustworthy, and don't be think like that. Children, by nature, are all ready to put complete trust in their mom and dad. That's how they are. They're innocent. They're wonderful. And as parents, we realize that we've got a big responsibility because that's how the kids are. And Jesus is saying that that's how we need to receive the kingdom of God. I mean, there is a sense in which rather than trying to go intellectual, isn't like how you get there. It's a matter of trust. And I still remember when I really came to a point of faith myself. And I remember thinking about the Jesus that my folks talked to me about when I was a little boy. And I realized that I was going to have to kind of trust like I did when I was a little kid. That's how you receive the kingdom of God. It's that kind of trust. He says, I tell you the truth that anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And enter it we can. The kingdom of God. Let's look over in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 14. Kingdom of God. It's within us. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 15. This is, if you got a red letter Bible with Jesus' words in red, these are all red. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 15. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father. Let's just live with these next couple sentences here. He says, on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father. Are you ready for the next part? And you are in me, and I am in you. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, Paul teaches about marriage. And he's talking about wives and husbands and their responsibilities to each other. And then he goes down and says, he tells us that basically, in so many ways, a relationship that it's supposed to be between a husband and wife is like a relationship between a believer and Christ. Now, it's not a perfect example, but it points the way. And I think about Tammy and I are one. Everything I have is hers. Everything she has is mine. And my time is always kind of blended with her time. And every little secret in my life, I mean, she knows all everything about me, and I know everything about her. And when I think about the future, it's always us. Now, that's it points us into a direction of what the relationship between a believer is in Christ. But it's not a perfect example, but it's a pretty good one. He's in us and we are in him. And that's why he made us for that fellowship with him. He didn't make us so that we could be distant, so we would be far away, so that we would just somehow have his law and a Christian life is just us trying to follow his law. No, it's a relationship with him. It is a walk with him. It is a connectedness to him. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Verse 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I, too, will love him and show myself to him. Skip down to verse 23. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." By the way, have you noticed that love and obedience go hand in hand? You keep hearing it over and over again here. He says, "My Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home in him." The dwelling place of God is in the hearts of his people. He cleanses our lives so he can come and live in us. We will come and make our home in him. And the hour, as Jesus says, me and my Father, we will make our home in the one that loves me. That's why everything changes when someone becomes a genuine believer. That's why it changes. Because it's not like a person just tries to minimize their sinning and clean up their act. No, a real change happens because the Lord comes inside. And that's why at church you really got to teach the truth. Because sometimes people come to church because maybe they're sick of how they've been living. And they think, well, I got to cut down on swearing. Going to church, and I got to try to be a better person. And, you know, that's what they think that Christianity is about. That's not what Christianity is about. It is this relationship where the Lord forgives our sins, and he comes and fills us and lives in us. And that changes everything. It changes who we are. We become a new creation. It's not just us trying to minimize our sin. It's us have now submitted ourselves to the Lord. And we live for him. We live in love. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. Now, verse 24. He who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They come from the Father who sent me. And all this I've spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. So peace be with you. My peace I leave with you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And I love that word peace, because the peace that God gives is not like the world gives. He gives us a peace that settles in so deeply within us that we can relax in him, trusting that our sin has been forgiven and has been taken care of, that he will be with us right now and give us everything we need, and will give us peace in our mind and our thinking. He'll give us peace in our body. He'll give us peace in our relationship. And he will give us peace as we look ahead into our future. It's a real peace. It's not a counterfeit peace. It's not a less than peace. It's peace. And that's why he created us, to have that type of relationship with him. Amen. Let's kind of go back where we started there in Luke. Luke 14. Verse 15. Oh, no. I didn't start you off there. I started off you in John 14, verse 15. I'm sorry. I started you off in John 14. Luke 17, yes. You are such a great daughter-in-law. The older I get, more help I'll need, so you better be prepared. The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observations, nor with will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. Well, as I close our service this morning, I'd like to just take a a little bit of time to pray. I'd like to ask Pastor Scott if he would come up to the piano. And sometimes it's like God talks to us in church about things. And you know, when he talks and he makes things clear, the best thing to do is when something is clear in your mind and clear in your heart, is to respond to it. And if you wait and say, well, let me think about it, maybe nothing will happen. Or if you say, wait, let me handle this later, you know, sometimes later never happens. And as we close the service this morning and ask Pastor Scott is playing softly, I'd like us to take a little bit of time in prayer. And if the Lord has talked to you, maybe you are not to that point in your life where you know what it's like to know in your heart of hearts that He reigns supreme within you. And as I've talked about it, your heart is stirred. And you know that you're ready to take that step. Then I'd like to encourage you to do one of two things. Either pray where you're seated right now. You talk to Him and you give Him your heart and life. You ask Him to forgive your sins and come and live within you. Or if you want to come down to this altar of prayer, this is just a nice place to pray. I will tell you, if you come down here, you're probably going to have somebody come and pray with you. Might be me. And it's a way of saying, yes, Lord, yes. So I'm going to pray, and then I'd like to invite you, if you want to come down, to come down. If you want to pray in your seat, you can pray in your seat, but we're going to take a time of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, right now, I pray that by your Spirit, you would give us a peace within us, that we would not be worried about what other people think, that we wouldn't be worried about anything at all, that it would just sort of be us and you and what you have been talking to us about. And I pray, Lord, that this would be a day of breakthrough, a day of taking a step, maybe a step that's been thought about for a long time, but a step that needs to happen. Bless our conversations in our homes. Bless our families. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would be like bright and shining stars standing out in a dark universe. Use us, Heavenly Father, to reflect your glory in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.